Hello and welcome back to our study of the book of Job. As they say, the plot thickens. Yeah, it's going to get more and more difficult here as we continue through the book. So glad you could be here. Do you have a Bible there? Would you open your Bible to the book of Job? We're starting in chapter 2. We actually have a whole chapter under our belt now. Moving on to chapter 2, verse 1, where Job is about to lose his health and some other things. Let's start with verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God, and we talked about who that might be, they came to present themselves. You can actually read verse 6 of chapter 1, and you'll see the same thing here. 1:6 and 2:1 are almost identical. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. So I won't have to talk about that because we already talked about it. Let's look at verse 2. Well, the first part of verse 2, if not all of verse 2, is the same as chapter 1, verse 7, so I don't have to comment on that, but let's do read it. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." I want you to note here that the enemy is always roaming and walking and looking for someone. This is the same thing he said in chapter 1. And if you would ask him today, that's the same thing he's doing today. As Peter said, looking for someone to devour. When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he came at Jesus three times, covering all the three essences of the nature of man, his bodily, physical needs, his needs for importance, his desire for wealth and things, you know. And he came back and came back, and Satan lost those victories, but then it says he only left him for a season. The enemy was coming after Jesus all of his life, as he will come after you all of your life. Even Jesus' best friend, Peter, would be a source of temptation to him, to the point that he was going to ask that Satan in Peter to get behind him, Jesus. So don't get all upset with yourself when you're constantly tempted. Don't get upset with God. That's God giving Satan permission to tempt you. He doesn't have to overcome you. That's between you and the Lord and your relationship to him. But I'm saying the enemy is going to keep at it. And with God in you, you've got to keep at it too. The Lord said to Satan, and this is different now, "Have you considered," well, no, this is the same, I'm sorry. This first part of verse 3 is the same as 1:8. "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth." Wow. "A blameless and upright man. I love this man, Job. He fears me. He turns away from evil." Again, as we mentioned before, this is God's assessment of his people who are in Christ. He loves his son, and he loves everyone who's connected to his son. We're all a one happy family with him, but doesn't mean that we get home free with no problems. And now he goes on to something different here as he continues his response to Satan. He still holds firm to his integrity, Job does. "Even though you," Satan, "incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Without cause. That's from Satan's viewpoint. It was without cause. Job would think that it was going to be without cause. "Why are you doing all this to me? All the way through, you're going to see this. I don't get it. I don't understand. Can't be a cause here. Can't be a good reason here." But there was a cause in heaven. And there always is, folks. There always is a cause. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. You've got to trust the Lord in this. There's a cause for what you've been through and going through. It's okay. It doesn't mean you have to be there the rest of your life. There might be ways you can jump out of it. But I'm saying there's a cause that it happened. See also how the Lord appeals to Satan's nature here. It's almost, I hate to say it quite like this because I don't mean it the way it's going to sound, but it's like he's trying to start a fight. He's trying to get the devil to do something here. Well, the devil wants to do something anyway, but the Lord just seems to be playing along with him because he's got some purposes in Job's life that he wants to fulfill. And guess what? He has some purposes in your life that he wants to fulfill. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. You ever figured that one out? Well, I've looked at the commentators, and they haven't figured it out either. They argue among themselves about this one. I'm not totally sure. One person said that skin here might stand for a person's entire life. And so that Satan is implying that Job would gladly give up his present lifestyle, his wonderful life that he's had, if God would just save his physical life and at least let him live, even if his new life would mean pain and suffering, which of course it did. So skin for skin, let's make a deal here. How much can Job be allowed to keep if I can only take away his health? Some kind of bargaining thing when he said skin for skin. Yes, he says, all that a man has, even his health and well-being, he will give for his life. But reach out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. He's asking the Lord to do this. He's asking the Lord to do this. Do you get it? He wants God to be blamed for this, when it's his evilness that is making this whole thing happen, and yet the Lord using it for his glory. And, of course, he doesn't. God, I don't believe, does this. I believe that the Lord allows Satan to do it, though. It says, in fact, verse 7, that Satan is the one who struck Job with severe boils. He asked God to do it. God said, no, he's in your power. Go ahead. Again, we recall that anything that happens to us has been permitted. Satan's not in control. We must also see the life of Jesus in this context. And when he came and the things he did, he cast out devils that had been permitted by the Father to put diseases on man. Now, that's a difficult one for us. Was the Son coming against the Father's will? No. It was the Father's will to allow Satan to do things, but it was Jesus' plan to show the people of God that it was Satan behind all of these things, and Satan needed to be cast out. And he, as God, in one mind with the Father, took those things away from people to show the power of God, that God had put these on through Satan, but that God was now taking them off. How much are we able to cast out today? It's a matter of controversy, but we don't want to rule it out. I'm not trying to get you to just accept every bad thing that ever comes into your life and say, well, that's the will of God. Not always. Satan may be operating under God's permitting hand, but he's also given his church the power to come out from under that satanic authority. Each case has to be handled with care and prayer. But when a bomb falls on your house and it's been blown away and there's nothing left there, what devil are you going to cast out? It's been done. Now what do? You trust God. So he says, only spare his life. God says to Satan, yeah, okay, you're free, but don't kill him. You can do what you need to do to him, but don't kill him. So he did. He did what he could to. He made his life as miserable as possible with boils. If you've ever had one boil, you know that's misery. Suppose you've got boils from the top of your head to the crown of your feet, the sole of your feet. Oh, my goodness. Scratch, scratch, scratch. I've never had boils, so I don't know. I've had some sores that seemed like it, but and you have too. But I'm just saying, just imagine a whole body filled with this. Job had to take a piece of pottery to scrape himself while he's sitting in the ashes. Well, there's another person that comes into the drama next time around. We'll talk about her. And she was evidently spared for some reason when all the bad stuff was coming down. And I guess now we know why she was spared by the enemy, because the enemy's going to use her. We'll talk about Job's wife next time around. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to look over the rest of our site. We've got Spurgeon sermons and persecution stories. We're going to start a World Missionary Press section every week here soon, telling you the story of that wonderful place and the things that they're doing, the testimonies all over the world. It is a godly, wonderful ministry that I hope you'll be a part of. And we're studying Gurnal every day now. You'll find hundreds of other helpful audios. Sign up for the podcast or download the app. Do whatever. But let me know you're there. I'm at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.